from your home of the Minnesota Fightin' Vikings, Studio B. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm still not a Viking fan.
Your loss.
Yeah.
Not really.
They're on some kind of streak.
They're a two-game winning streak.
Go Vikings. That's some kind of streak, man. By comparison to the home team.
Yeah, I'd expect that game. I think we talked off air how I watched that Minneapolis Miracle when Stephon Diggs caught that from Case Keenum.
Sure.
And that feeling of, oh my God! This was more a sustained, longer claim, like, oh, okay, when's the bottom going to drop out? Something's bad going to happen.
For anyone who didn't, the Minnesota Vikings played the San Francisco 49ers, who are arguably the best team in football.
Not now.
I mean, you could have argued it before they lost to the Vikings that they were the best team in football, loaded with talent, a really good record, and the Minnesota Vikings beat them.
Beat them.
Correct.
I mean,
it wasn't a fluke.
No. And it did kind of come down. San Francisco had the ball in the last 30 seconds. Yeah. And you kind of went, okay. And they're like, oh, all right.
Minnesota's consistent blitz is the story of their season, really. They are far and away the most blitzing team. And even if you don't get sacks, it makes the offense a little twitchy, makes him a little unsure. And against the 49ers, who are starting a second-year quarterback, good feel-good story in Brock Purdy, but he's a second-year quarterback. They blitzed him all over the place. They made him look like a second-year quarterback.
Yeah, he had two interceptions.
Concussed him by the end of the game, by the way.
Yes, he did.
They wounded him. He's out because of what the Vikings did to him. They won Monday night game.
Yeah, he looked really uncomfortable. I mean, the defense looked really good. I mean, they're starting to mesh. They've been mesh. I mean, the last, like, three games, they've been looking better and better and improving.
I mean, by the end of this game, because Packers and Vikings play this weekend.
Yes.
They're the nooner on Sunday. I am committed to learning the names of some of the Vikings defensive players, like, because I don't know three. I can't name three. I can name you Danielle Hunter.
Okay.
I can name you Harrison Smith.
Yep. Now Cam Bynum.
He was the one that Cam Bynum had two picks.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was good, and then he was hurt, and then he wasn't very good, but now he's playing pretty well.
Yep.
A defensive coordinator playing the right scheme for him, and he looks good. So, okay, I can name three players. I'm sure by the end of this game, I
would hope so.
Because the story is the Minnesota defense, I think, in this game. It's the Minnesota defense whooping up on, you know, just constant pressure on Jordan Love.
But the other side of that is our offense. I mean, no matter what happens, San Francisco's defense is phenomenal. And in the first time, I have the stat, actually, of sacks allowed so far this year.
Yes.
We didn't get a sack on Monday.
That's pretty impressive.
Considering we have had at least two sacks at least every game. There was one game with four, one game with three, but this is the first time. This is also the first time we had almost every starting lineman.
Dalton Reisner in there too. So it looked like an offensive.
Christian Darrisaw was a stud.
Okay.
No, they looked. I mean, there's your product of what happens when.
And if I'm not mistaken, Kirk Cousins threw for almost 400 yards. Right?
378, 35 for 45. He had an interception. It was a fluke interception.
Sure.
That was the one to Jordan Addison, the first one.
Oh,
that got
yeah.
ripped out.
There it is.
They called that as an interception. Okay. So,
Jordan Addison looks fantastic, by the way.
Yeah. And I didn't play him on fantasy either.
Yeah, he missed a chance.
Yeah,
I've seen your team. You should have started him. You should just start starting him, by the way.
Now I will.
And TJ Hockenson.
He was banged up.
But he had, I think, eight receptions. He didn't have a ton of yards.
Right.
He also had, I was doing my research on the Vikings. They gave him credit for some of the best blocking on the winning play. He blocked Joey Bosa, who is the best defensive player in the league. Blocked him one-on-one like a lineman, and that allowed that touchdown to happen. So, yeah, they played on offense and defense about as good of a game.
He had 11 receptions, 86 yards. I mean, it's pretty good stats for a tight end.
For a tight end against a team where he, like I said, he was asked to block a lot in that game. He played like he should. The Vikings, like I said, that was a complete.
Not also, a complete. Don't say complete, because the only thing that's lacking, run game.
Wow, they're not going to run the game all. They might have had 60 yards rushing.
If we had a run game,
yeah.
I think we'd be a lot more impressive than we have.
I mean, if they had a run game, they wouldn't have lost. You wouldn't have 14 turnovers. If you could run the football, you wouldn't be second most turnovers in the league because you could just hand it to a guy and not worry about it. But they've all year been consistently either
Cook
handing the ball.
Cook was that way, though, still in the last, before he left Minnesota. He was kind of fumbly-itis, too.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, it's about as good as a game you could play.
Sure.
Considering where you're at. And, a lot of people call Minnesota one of the better 3-4 teams.
And, we could keep making that list. There's not a lot of separation between the middle 20 teams in the league. The worst five teams, we could rank them from 1 to 5, and they're all terrible.
Right.
I don't know if the Packers make it into that worst five or if the Bears do.
I think the Bears do.
Bears have a very similar record to the Packers, but they don't look as good.
Yes.
And the top five teams, too. You could throw those in a hat and spit out.
I mean, look at Detroit.
Detroit feels like the best team in the NFC, but then they got blown out by Baltimore.
Bad.
They got beat as badly by
that
Baltimore.
That was one of the most anticipated games.
Yeah.
Some of the best of the better, and then all of a sudden, Lamar goes, no.
Back to Detroit's a terrible place to be a pro football player. They just seem still cursed. In games like that, it just seems like no matter what happens, Detroit's not going to win. In the same way that it's exciting to get excited about the 3-4 Vikings, but we both know. Their ceiling, do they feel like a 10-win?
Oh, they won't. They'll probably win the next 7 games in a row. Getting that 15 to 20 spot
that's
in
what
the
I'm
draft
hoping for every year,
and I'm like, there goes our hopes for getting any decent quarterback. I mean, there is a lot of them this year, so we should. I'm assuming that you grab one in the first round, or an offensive lineman.
You have to go quarterback. You hit a stage in your franchise's spot where you need to draft a quarterback, and you can't draft a quarterback in the second round. If you're drafting a quarterback in the second round, it is a developmental thing over a couple of years. And the Vikings don't have that luxury because they're going to have a very expensive veteran quarterback, and they need
and they're going to keep him on for at least another year.
He's going to have incredible numbers by the end of the year. You're not going to upgrade in the free agent.
He'll get $35 million, one year guaranteed.
It's fantastic. That guy is very shrewd.
If he keeps on, if he keeps on playing, I mean, it was a primetime Monday night game and he won.
Correct. Yeah, well, that's strange too.
I think over the last 2 years, he's really kind of broken that stigma a little bit.
And but that's the thing is that's just the first thing because when he lost in the playoffs this year, it was the same thing. Yeah. Oh, another Kirk Cousins disappointment. He had an entire year of nothing disappointing. They were in primetime games. They won them all. Won all the close games. As soon as the lights came on in a playoff game, Kirk Cousins looked like a JV player.
And it's not completely fair. I mean, there's 53 guys on that team that all of them have to. I mean,
you say that, but some guys don't touch the football ever, and the quarterback touches the ball 50 times. Yeah. So for me, the quarterback has to get a lot of credit, a lot of blame, a lot of pay, a lot of stability too. Like if you're a good quarterback, you're gonna play for that team because that team needs stability.
It's probably the toughest position on the team, I think.
Oh, far and away.
There's most complicated. I mean,
it's why you don't see them traded in the season. There's a chance that any other player on any roster can get traded, but nobody's giving up their starting quarterback for any reason because you don't have anybody behind
him. Not yet.
In season, I don't remember.
Baker.
Did he get cut, though? He got cut. He did not get traded from.
I thought he got cut. Did he get cut from Cleveland
to go to Carolina? Yes.
I don't think he got cut. I think he got traded.
So,
I don't remember. Maybe it wasn't midseason.
It's very,
either.
Very rare for that to happen.
Right. Because it's complicated.
It's very, very complicated.
It takes quarterbacks all preseason and even the offseason to know the 55-7 slide right half.
It's why you'd rather have Kirk Cousins paying him too much money than it would the unknown of whatever it is going into next year. Same thing with and we'll switch gears to the Green Bay of Packers. They're not good. Jordan Love is not. It's kind of an interesting thing at 2-4. They're hitting a spot in the season where Jordan Love needs to play better.
Right.
Real quick, because he's losing the leverage that he has as a starting quarterback. He's got, as much as he's got a 2-year contract, and he does, he's signed through this year and next year. If he's not close to Pro Bowl level by the end of this year, The Packers are absolutely going to be in a fantastic spot to draft a starting quarterback in the draft in the first round because they have the Jets' second-round pick.
It was the old offseason of saying, what if he's not good?
And he started out really nice.
Yeah.
But that has covered up him being the worst starting quarterback in the league
when
over the last 3 weeks.
When you lose to the Raiders
weeks.
And the Broncos?
Yeah, back-to-back. And he didn't...
They're like some of the, right now the Broncos are the worst team probably in the NFL, and you lose to them. You
and all
can't
of a sudden,
do that.
When you're the Packers and you lose to some really bad dumpster fire teams, maybe you're the dumpster fire.
Yeah, right.
But the thing is, it's way. If I hope they're bad, I hope we can hit ourselves a nice 2-15 stretch, and just not win. I'm fine with that because
can you imagine if Caleb Williams went to the Packers?
I mean, would that be just Jesus. You just have this long?
What? Okay, let me just say. Let's say they have the 7th pick.
Sure.
Would they do that trading up to get him?
Yeah, I mean, depends on how much they value, let's say, the second-best quarterback. Because traditionally in your draft, your second-best quarterback, you got to draft him 2-4 in the draft. Yeah. You can't get the number one guy. If there's a quarterback who's worth draft, he's going to go number one. Best quarterback
usually
gets drafted number one. I can't remember the last time a team didn't draft a quarterback number one. And I'm probably missing some real obvious ones, but... No, if you have a shot,
especially, I would say that like the last 5 to 10 years, you pretty much nail if you have that one quarterback at number one,
you have to nail
on him. Now, so far, Carolina, that's a work in progress.
Bryce Young looks okay.
Yeah, he doesn't look horrible. He doesn't, but
that whole team isn't very good. Yeah, so that's another one. They get another year, and then number two, if you're the Packers,
but in the history so far, the number two quarterback has been all right.
Yeah. Maybe. And there, well, of course, it's way too early to talk draft specific.
Is it though?
I mean, if we have 28 minutes, yes. If we had this, if we were doing this again tomorrow, we would talk the draft like once a week. And we would just, but we can't. And we won't.
But do you think they would trade up? I mean, to any other season? I think Minnesota will.
Well, here's the trick is anybody who has within that shot of one or two this year should be pushing their chips in the table because you have two quarterbacks who look like all pros and no other quarterbacks below them look like all pros. So if you're sitting at 7 or 8 and you have to trade the first round pick and a second round pick and a first round pick next year. You've got an extra second round pick to play with that can move you where you need to move.
It's only a second round pick.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, roll with it. You do because
I think Minnesota. I mean, they have.
Another year of watching Jordan Love struggle like this. If you next year, if your starting quarterback throws 56% and throws 25 touchdowns and 20 interceptions again, your whole franchise, your whole front office is getting fired.
Yep.
So you got to make that decision. Unless, of course, Jordan Love turns it around or their record turns it around.
I mean, you've got what 9 games left?
Because if you win. And you're throwing 56% and you're throwing some picks, but you win, that's a different argument. But if you're going to be...
You're losing because you're making stupid decisions.
Yeah, if you're 7-10 and you've thrown 20 interceptions, maybe the quarterback is the problem. Or at least a problem you can address.
Maybe Matt LaFleur is not the quarterback whisperer you thought he was. It was just Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think so. I really think he knew his stuff. Their offense looked really nice, and all of a sudden it looks a little...
You mean this year?
Yeah, it looks a little different. But, I mean, having your All-Pro, having Hall of Fame Aaron Rodgers correct mistakes that your coach makes in real time, Packers don't have anybody to do that.
Right.
They have no wide receivers. They have no running backs. They have no offensive linemen who are playing that have the ability.
But it's one of the youngest.
It's of all time. It's one of the youngest skill positions. If you subtract Aaron Jones from that, your longest tenured player who's seen the field this year is A.J. Dillon. he's been awful. he's been the worst starting running back. Yes, so worst starting running back, worst starting wide receiver. Your team is 2-4. Your defense is ranked okay if you're the Packers, considering your record and the short fields that their defense has gotten put into. Their defense is sitting, above the middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that offense is just not,
so. Let's
not
do
doing
this.
Anything.
I'm gonna name the next 6 teams that you play.
Okay.
And tell me, yes, you're gonna win or no or lose. So, this weekend, Vikings Packers.
That's a loss for the Packers.
Yes, I agree. Rams.
That's a loss.
Steelers.
That's a win.
You think they can beat the Steelers?
Kenny Pickett is a terrible quarterback. Yeah, that is
defense
really,
is really coming on strong, though, too.
So is the Packers. That might be one of those first team to score a touchdown wins.
It'll be a 3-6.
Yeah, first if you score a touchdown, you win that game. But I'm going to say you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Chargers.
Oh, that's a loss.
Lions.
That's a loss.
Chiefs.
That's also a loss.
Giants.
We can keep going. That's a win.
Is it?
Giants aren't very good.
No, they're horrible.
I don't believe in the Giants at all.
Not at this point.
No. Who would you rather have, Daniel Jones or Jordan Love? Yeah, that's the type of quarterback that Daniel Jones. That's the type of quarterback that the Giants are dealing with. Yeah.
We'll just do it the rest of the season.
Sure.
Buccaneers.
That is unfortunately a win. At this point in the season, any win in my mind is a loss, but they're going to beat the Buccaneers because the Buccaneers are going to. They're trying to tank too, but with much less ability.
Yes.
Much less talent.
Panthers.
That's a win.
Vikings.
That's a win.
You know, split it.
Yeah.
Probably will.
They have to.
And then the Bears.
And that's unfortunately. No, you know what? I'm going to say that's a loss because the Bears have something to play for. Justin Fields has something to play for that no other starting quarterback in their division does. He's playing for a starting job next year. Everybody else in that division is fine, but Justin Fields, if he doesn't play well, will be replaced by the number one pick in the draft.
Because they got two picks.
Because the Bears are that team that's why nobody has to worry about trading up for Caleb Williams, because the Bears got that covered.
Yeah.
They might have the number one and number two pick
in
the draft.
It'll be interesting to see if Caleb Williams actually goes for the draft, because there's those little rumors.
I love that. I can't.
I want part ownership, or I'm going to tank myself because I want to come back. And
that's
then
wild. I can't believe.
Although, it's not the worst thinking.
Although this, and I getting legitimate money as a college kid, if you were given $1 million and then next year could choose the team you wanted to play for, here's the problem, of course, is let's say he doesn't want to play for Chicago and Chicago gets stuck Justin Fields again and they're terrible for the third year in a row. You know, that's the problem with bad franchises, is they're consistently bad. So if you don't
if you're going to be a one or two quarterback in the draft. Yeah. I would absolutely not want to go to Chicago.
You're right, but the odds are, I'd say 1 in 4 that you're going to go to a terrible franchise with infrastructure. So do you want to go to the Bears?
Side note, he said he wanted to go to Minnesota.
Yeah, he said that last year when they were good. Yeah. I'd like to hear what he's got to say about a franchise that finishes mediocre.
They're still in the five list.
Interesting.
Yeah. But
of
anyway.
Of course, you know, until the season ends, none of that is legitimate because
maybe he's tanking at USC.
I mean, I know, because people have wanted to draft him number one overall since he was a senior in college. Right. He's one of those guys, as a senior in high school, he could have been drafted to the
Andrew
NFL.
Luck this year.
They were chanting his name when he was going to like signing days in high school and college. So he's the real deal. So let's go back to the Packers record, right? There's 2-4.
Yep.
Loss, win puts them at 3-7, 3-8, 3-9, 3-10. 6-10, 7-10, 7-10. That's awful. That's not what you want, right? Like, I count 5 more wins in this season. That puts you at 7-10, which gets you that 12th pick in the draft like they had this year. Not super helpful. No.
But it would have to get less away to go up. Like, if Minnesota finishes like, I mean, I'm looking at their schedule.
I mean, same thing for Minnesota, right? Like, they're.
Right.
They could. I can't see them on paper winning 9 games.
You know, they win the Packers, Falcons, Saints are kind of a hot mess, Broncos, Bears, Raiders.
So the Lions finish at 12-5, and everybody else in the division finishes at 7-9 or 7-10.
Is that
it?
8-8, yeah.
That's it? There's 17 games again.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, so that's...
Well, yeah. With the
That's a really mediocre outlook for the... Mm-hmm. So one of these teams has to be terrible, right? Like,
it'll be Chicago.
I don't want that to be. I want Chicago to. I don't want Chicago to have to go through ruining
another
quarterback. I don't want to see it. I've watched them wreck everybody. So no, I'm not rooting for that at all. I know this is the first home game in a month for the Packers. That's the real. They haven't. I think it's Minnesota 21, Green Bay 14.
I think Minnesota's going to be coming off that San Francisco. I think hot. They got a lot of confidence coming out of that game now. They're going to have a... I mean, Kirk got the chain again.
Which, of course, in Minnesota fashion means we could really be gearing up for a disaster of a game.
Absolutely, at this point.
Packers in the last 4 games have been outscored in the first half 63-6.
Oh, wow.
Awful.
This year?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The first half of the last 4 games, no touchdowns. They've scored 4.3 points in the first half of games this year, and which is worst in the NFL. 17.7 in the second half, which is the best in the NFL. Any explanation of that?
No.
That doesn't make any sense to me either. How
same
you
thing
be-
how our defense, Danielle Hunter, number one in sacks right now with 8.
You know, unexpected. Kurt, I watched that game.
Kurt's top 5 quarterback now.
Again, he's always a top 5 quarterback.
Yeah, but we also, I
mean, can we start referring to him as future Hall of Famer Kurt Cousins at a certain point? Pretty quickly here.
I don't know.
You know he is.
He's going to be out for the next 2 years, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Your numbers are.
He's going to retire a Minnesota Viking.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to have all the Vikings records.
He's going to have like $350 million.
He's
going to
retire as like a top 5 all time in yards, touchdowns, all sorts of numbers. He's going to put up numbers and never have won anything. But he's a Hall of Famer.
If Jordan Addison keeps on the track he's doing,
yeah,
he's doing better than Jefferson.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes
sense.
Do we
trade Jefferson?
No, of course not. No, no, zero. Zero of them.
Keep them both.
Keep them both, yeah. If anytime you have a chance to keep rookies on rookie deals, you can afford everything else.
We just need a running back.
Yeah, and you can find that in the second round. Draft correctly.
Derrick Henry.
I mean, you draft him. You draft a guy.
Yeah.
You have to draft a running back.
You have that 3 to 5 year.
You watched the guy for the Dolphins this year was a draft pick, and that you can draft a guy. You can always draft a running back if you draft him correctly. Dude, we got to move off the football for just a minute.
We got 7.5 minutes.
We'll talk quickly then. The World Series is starting. Starts on Friday. Rangers and Diamondbacks. I'm a Diamondbacks fan because of Craig Counsell and Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling. I liked those teams as a kid growing up. Got nothing about the Rangers that I care about.
It's not the Astros.
It's not the Astros, which is great.
As a baseball fan, I'm sure that means.
I watched an entire Game 7 of two teams that I didn't care about to root against the Astros in this one. I stayed up real late. Yeah. I watched. I enjoyed. The Rangers stomped them. It was great. World Series. Neat. I don't have any predictions about that. Yeah, well, you should watch it if you like baseball. If not, there's so many other better things to do.
Hockey.
Hockey's started, which is like. I love live hockey. Is great on TV. It's very dizzying. It makes me very tired to watch. But in person, man, live hockey, whether it's high school or semi-pro or pro, so good.
I think I've been to one professional hockey game. That was the North Stars when they were in Minnesota.
Oh wow, yeah, good for you. That was a long time ago.
Met Stadium, I think it was.
That's a very long time. Yeah, yeah. No, I when like
the stadium was where the Mall of America was.
Okay, nice. I've been to live Badger hockey.
No,
and that was fantastic.
College hockey's got to be. I think it's just way better.
Man, everything's better about college sports. It's louder. It's smaller. People get really excited.
They're not playing for money as much.
Zero money being.
Well, not zero.
You know, I don't know how much money is given. I can't say how much. Other than that, what else we got starting?
Badger football.
Badger football against the Ohio State University. Ohio State ranked number 3 in the country. They're 7-0.
Blowout.
No. Wisconsin played really well in a big old comeback against Illinois. Mm-hmm. They scored 18 straight points. They're
with a freshman quarterback.
So I'm not saying blowout because Braylon Allen is the best running back in the Big Ten.
Okay.
And he rushed for 145 yards, 30 carries. That's some old school Wisconsin Badger football. So I don't say blowout. But, you know, they've lost 9 in a row to Ohio State. So, yeah, it does, I guess, you know, style points and everything, I'd like to say.
I don't even know. I usually follow at least the rankings of college football. Mm-hmm. I haven't followed it yet this year. I don't even know who's...
Ohio State's great. Georgia's great. All the teams that you think are great are all great. This point in the year, you're just going to now start to see some separation.
Alabama's not... Is that... Are they in that? Or are
they're
they kinda...
good to great. They're still one of those, like, they can win all their games because they have the best talent and the best coach. Things to watch in the Ohio State game. Marvin Harrison Jr. Is the best, who's the son of Marvin Harrison Sr., who's a Hall of Fame wide receiver for the Colts. His son is the best wide receiving prospect to come into the league since Calvin Johnson. He'll be the highest drafted wide receiver since Calvin Johnson. He could go number 2 overall.
Okay.
He's unbelievable to watch. He's a Heisman guy.
Sure.
So watch that for that. Luke Fickell. Coach for the Wisconsin Badgers, former defensive tackle, nose tackle, started 50 games in a row for Ohio State.
Yeah.
His D coordinator, Jim Tressel's nephew, Jim Tressel was the coach at Ohio State for a long time. Final score of this one, 35-23, not the Badgers, unfortunately. They don't have the horses, man. They can keep it close for a while, but if you look at the numbers, Ohio State's offense and defense are just way better than anybody not named Michigan in the Big Ten. So there's that. Also, Craig Counsell interviewed, unfortunately, for the New York Mets managerial position. His former employer and buddy David Stearns, who was the general manager of the Brewers, is now the general manager and head honcho of the Mets.
So
Craig Counsell can be offered a whole bunch of money to go manage in the biggest market in the world. I don't want him to. Craig Counsell's my favorite all-time Brewer. Same thing with Jim Leonard. Whitefish, he's from Whitefish Bay. Craig Counsell's from Milwaukee. He's been there for a very long time. He's the winningest manager in Brewers history, inarguably a top-flight manager.
Last, 6 years, he's gone to the playoffs.
Correct.
Three times?
Yes, more times. He's made the Brewers into the playoffs more times than the Mets have been in the last decade. Yeah, so he's a big upgrade.
With less money.
He's the best. He's the best managerial candidate out there.
Yeah.
So unless the Brewers pony up for some real big money, he might be former Brewer manager Craig Counsell by the end of the weekend.
Oh, good.
That's boo and hiss.
Yeah.
What else? We got long enough to talk about the Bucks.
Yep.
Bucks new season starts tonight.
2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes is plenty of time to talk about Milwaukee Bucks against the Philadelphia 76ers to kick off the season.
James Harden's not playing.
I was going to do that second, but the Philadelphia 76ers are the most drama-filled sports franchise.
Always have been.
Since, for the last 5 to 6 years, they've kept their name in the papers as just being a gossipy, whiny franchise of owners and players. A couple of years ago, it was Joel Embiid. Their center was hurt and injury, and then
Ben Simmons
complained and whined and played his way, quite frankly,
Then the Brooklyn Nets traded him.
Yep, and then they got James Harden in that deal, and James Harden led the league in assists last year as a 36-year-old. He wants to be traded to specifically the Clippers. In this era of basketball, you can kind of just say, I want to go here, or I'm not going to play, because he can. And he's probably going to eventually get traded to somebody and bought out.
Because he can't, because he's guaranteed $35.4 million, and you can't afford sit him and then cut him.
You can, unfortunately, you're going to trade him to somebody who will cut him. You're going to trade him to somebody who has cap space, who's just going to say, okay, go play for whoever you want. And that's just how it's going to work. Yeah. It's a weird thing that they're going to get draft picks along with James Harden to cut him.
Yep.
The NBA is weird.
Yeah.
But the Bucks kick off their season as the...
Yeah, I want to see that. I actually want... I mean, I'm not a big NBA guy,
Giannis Antetokounmpo and
Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard is a top five point guard, Hall of Fame. The best player that either of these players has ever played with is going to be on the court tonight.
Yeah.
I watched some of these games. It was kind of rough to watch. Damian Lillard didn't play particularly well in the preseason, but he's the rare point guard who can shoot it from anywhere inside half court. He can get 10 assists. He can get 35 points, big enough, strong enough to guard everybody.
Right.
And Giannis is the most talented player in the NBA. So they kick off tonight. That's super, super fun to watch.
30 seconds.
That's pretty much everything that happened in sports in a very quick nutshell. Thanks for doing all your amateur producing over there.
Thanks.
I can see you pushing buttons like a champ.
Okay.
Thanks to DRT for doing all of this and letting us sit here and have a good time. You should listen to us on Spotify or just about anywhere else, and we will be there. We got music on there. You can check that out. Thank you, and have a great day.